Chapter 2. AC's CAN Sector, 44 ABY. Today.
It was only 2 kilometers from his office to his home. But on nights like this, when he was weary, Professor Vort Sabinring chose not to make the walk. This affluent university town was blessed with rolling walkways, locally known as rumblers. And tonight, Vort chose to just stand and let the campus buildings, houses, and apartment blocks roll serenely past. Many of these homes were dark at this hour, but he could see through the windows of others, into lit interiors where families dined, talked, watched holodramas. He wasn't physically tired, not really. And it wasn't that he was old. He was middle-aged, yes, but he exercised and saw the medics at regular intervals. Yes, by human standards, he was overweight, but he was actually a touch lean for a Gamorrean. No, the weariness came from within him, internal and eternal. There was nothing at either end of his 2 kilometer daily commute to beckon him, to invigorate him. His students seemed to be blocks of permacrete, immobile and emotionless, enduring his courses as though to do so were a condition of parole. His home was a place where he could sleep, nothing more. The rolling walkway was elevated, situated above and beside the stationary walkway he usually took. Glow rods on the rumbler's underside illuminated pedestrians on the stationary walk. As he reached the halfway point on his trip home, Vort saw a pedestrian standing at ground level on the other side of the street, beneath the rumbler, headed back toward campus. The figure, a shadow in a wide-brimmed hat and a traveler's overcoat, looked up as Vort passed and stepped forward to cross the street. The shadow moved to the near walk, stepped on an open-air lift plate, and rose to the level of Vort's rumbler. He stepped off onto the moving walkway and turned in Vort's direction. Hands in his coat pockets, he began walking toward Vort. Vort felt a mixture of curiosity and alarm. It had been 5 standard years since he'd experienced that mixture of emotions. The day a high-strung immigrant from nearby Lord had come flying across his office desk at him in a genuine effort to murder him. Alarm had faded once Vort had knocked the wind from the boy and returned him to his chair. And curiosity had faded once Vort learned the boy felt that perfect scores were his birthright. Perhaps this stalker would assault him for the doggedness with which Vort taught Lulog's third theorem. Or perhaps a coalition of students had pooled their allowances and food servers' wages to buy a hit on their professor. If so, the assault would be an interesting side item in tomorrow's news briefs. Vort tallied his resources. 1 gray suit, dull both in cut and color. 1 datapad, identicard, cred cards, cred coins, fists, and tusks. He waited. The shadowy man drew to a stop a couple of meters from him and spoke, his voice rich and deep. "Hello, piggy." He tilted his head up so that his hat brim no longer cast his face into shadow. His dark, trim beard and mustache, his features, timeless and handsome. Vort had learned long ago what types of appearance humans found pleasing in one another, were instantly familiar.
"Face,"
Vort brightened.
"I feel let down. I was looking forward to being assaulted."
"Well, if you like, I can try to wrestle you off this walkway. That's a good 3-meter drop.
"Perhaps later."
Vort let a number of possibilities run like columns of numbers through his head.
"No."
Face's eyebrows shot up.
"No what?"
"In the last 15 years, we've only encountered each other by appointment, such as your wedding. This is an ambush, so you're up to something. No, I will not work for you. And by the way, you know it's not Piggy anymore. Call me Vort."
"Vort, then. I want you to come work for me."
Vort slumped.
"What did I just tell you?"
"I've been working myself up just to say those words for thousands of light years. You can't deny me the right to say them. So, how about it?"
"I just said no."
"Refusals offered before the offer is made don't count."
Vort sighed.
We're only a few hundred meters from my quarters. Let's talk there.
He stepped off the walk onto the next lift plate. Faye stepped off with him.
There's less buzz to your voice these days. Is that a new implant?
Upgraded, yes. The dean of the School of Mathematics insisted. Less buzz means less menacing, or something.
At ground level, they stepped off. Face looked around, taking in the gently aging neighborhood. The cheerful-looking monitor droid, round and immobile as a bronze snow figure on the street corner.
You enjoying the work?
Vort took a moment to answer.
Sometimes.
Ah.
What about you? You enjoying retirement?
Face smiled. The expression was more sinister than happy.
When Jason Solo's war ended, pretty much every officer who'd failed to denounce him starting when he was a teenager was booted. I really don't call that retirement.
Well, what's the word for being purged but not killed or arrested, then?
Retirement.
Ah. What about your family?
Daya's doing great. She's now chief trainer and a full partner in the transport company she bought into. She was on Holonet News a lot a while back, offering perspectives on the slave uprisings popping off all over the galaxy. I did adopt Adra. She's my daughter now, too. She's 16 and dating, and if I had any hair left, it would all be white. But she's a good kid.
Vort grunted in acknowledgement of Face's words. He hadn't really been interested in all those details, but the social contract that existed between old friends, however distant they might now be, insisted that one ask such things. They walked in silence until Vort gestured to indicate the building where he lived, a square, four-story greenstone. Entering, he took the stairs rather than the turbo lift to the second story, then led Face into his quarters. Face shed his overcoat and hat, revealing his head to be as shiny bald as Vort remembered. His clothes were his favorite sort, black and expensive, but of an unobtrusive cut. Vort gave Face the brief tour of sleeping quarters, office, kitchen, and social room. Face made dutifully appreciative noises at the home's utilitarian, undecorated simplicity, then spent a few minutes doing a sweep for listening devices and micro-holocams. When he was done, the two of them returned to the social room. Face sat on the couch and arrayed himself, as if posing to advertise the clothes he wore.
I'm getting the band back together.
Vort lowered himself into his easy chair more quickly and awkwardly than he had intended to.
The Wraiths?
He gave Face an incredulous look.
When Bindi Drayson told me they'd been decommissioned, she made it sound like it had been a personal mission of Chief of State Dalla to scrub them out of existence.
Face nodded.
It was. Not only was it part of the same purge that got me, Dalla took a special delight in getting rid of rogue operatives who play by their own rules. Not that we actually ever had rules.
So how in just 3 years have you and the Wraiths been redeemed so you can put the unit back together?
Face turned a conspiratorial smile on his old friend.
We haven't. I'm putting the Wraiths back together again. And the government doesn't know a thing about it.
Vort narrowed his eyes suspiciously.
I'm having a hard time decrypting that. You're putting the Wraiths back together? Without government permission or oversight? Are you going pirate?
Face grinned.
Not exactly. What do you know about Barath Mattias?
The head of Galactic Alliance Security, including intelligence for the last 3 years. He replaced Belindi Kalenda when she was swept off by the same purge.
I barely know him. A very competent organizer, that's his reputation. And a team player.
Perfect for the new regime.
Got along very well with Dalla during her tenure. Gets along great with Chief of State Dorvan now.
Face put his hands together and looked at Vort over the steeple formed by his fingers.
He arranged to see me, away from his offices, away from his handlers and subordinates, a while back.
To ask you to put the Wraiths back together.
Yes. But not as an official intelligence unit. You're aware of the Lesserson conspiracy?
Vort snorted.
Who isn't?
In the most recent set of crises facing the Galactic Alliance government, a combination of slave uprisings and government coups, it had been revealed that one of the major influences unbalancing the government was a conspiracy among Moff Drickle Lesserson of the Imperial Remnant, Senator Faust Bramson, Senator Haydnet Treen, Admiral Salinor Perova, General Merritt Jaxton, and others, who were maneuvering to assume control of the Alliance and then merge it into the Imperial Remnant, subordinating all the Alliance's objectives to the Empire's. General Mattias has heard some disquieting rumors that General Staven Thal, head of the Alliance Army, might have been part of that same conspiracy. Faye shrugged. Nothing more than rumors, though.
Still, Thal's one of the most powerful individuals in the Alliance.
Feeling unsettled, Vort stood. He moved to the undecorated wall and pressed a code sequence on the keypad there. The large window beside it slid open, revealing a view of the nighttime street outside. The rumble of the distant rolling walkways was audible again. Cool air washed over him, which was the effect he wanted. He turned back to face.
Mattias doesn't trust his own people to determine whether there's any truth to the rumors.
No, he doesn't. He didn't select most of them, remember. Some he inherited from his predecessor, and the majority of the rest were appointed by the same committees and political factions that appointed him.
Huh. Well, good luck.
Come on, Piggy. Bort. Don't be that way.
Face, I'm a professor of mathematics. All that Wraith Squadron craziness ended for me 15 years ago.
Face nodded, his expression sympathetic. The Yuuzhan Vong War ended a lot of things for a lot of people. But people have bounced back from what they've lost. They've started over.
As I have.
No, you haven't.
Face gestured, a sweeping circular move that took in Vort's quarters, plus the community outside the window.
You've gone to ground. You've hidden. You've licked your wounds, and I know how deep they were. But Vort, you either need to rejoin the ranks of the living, or acknowledge to yourself that you're actually dead.
Vort broke out in the grunting, wheezing noises that were Gamorrean laughter.
Master Motivator, when did you write that little speech? On the shuttle trip into ACZ?
No shuttle. Mattias provided me with a hyperdrive-equipped space yacht, Cor and I. Just about the only resource he could give me. But, yes, I wrote that line on the trip here. What do you think of it?
It would play well on a holodrama, but in real life, no.
Face sighed.
Speech or not, it's the truth, Vort.
I'm a math instructor now. I take mathematical concepts, I shape them into spikes, and I spend months hammering them into the heads of students who'd much rather be involved in amorous pursuits or playing games. And all because they need it, even if their heads are as hard as Durasteel.
And that little speech might have impressed me. Except that when I asked you if you were enjoying your work, your answer sounded like, it's slightly better than being tortured by pirates.
Vort was quiet for a moment, then answered,
toward the end, being a wraith was considerably worse than being tortured by pirates.
That was then.
Look, Vort, I'm going to stop wasting both our time and jump straight to my final argument.
Also prescripted?
In part. I'd like to be able to convince you with the fact that you're wasting your time here, but you already know that. You're a mathematical genius, capable of doing hyperspace navigation calculations in your head. A strategist capable of factoring in more variables than anyone I've met. A capable starfighter pilot, and an organizer second to none. And here you are convincing undergraduates that dabbling with calculus won't cause them to lose the will to live. But again, you know that. What you don't apparently understand is that they actually don't need you. A teacher droid can do everything you're doing for your students, except maybe burp.
A droid can't instill into them a love of mathematics.
Neither can you. Not anymore. Those students don't need you. And I do.
Faye shrugged.
I'm not even asking as an old friend. We could be strangers, and I'd still need you. And Vort, now you're thinking that it could be Tsushima all over again, and that no matter how much you're needed, you can fail. But you didn't fail on Tsushima. What you did was lose everything that was important to you. His gesture again took in Vort's quarters. This is the result. It's time to come where you're needed. So, what's it going to be?